Welcome back to the Ghost Gals on the Parazon. Ronnie, we gave you a good little plug, a little billboard announcement about all of your experience and everything. So I think it's time that we gave Laura Lee Mystica equal time. And then we'll get back to my question. Laura Lee Mystica, known also as Witchy Woman, she is author of several books, including Cryogenics and Living in an Indigo House. And one of her first books released was about indigo adults. She has been on the cutting edge of healing for over 25 years with clients all over the world. As the steward of the Knights of the Mystic House, Laura Lee teaches Knights training courses. She's also a soul practitioner in Wicca, but has recently morphed into more of a sorceress, developing her own magic. We're talking about developing magic tools and methods to reverse spells, curses, black magic, and voodoo. Laura Lee has become quite prolific and efficient and skilled in actually removing all types of psychic, organic, and metallic implants. She's discovered an interesting fact that many people with severe emotional problems actually have implants. Okay, let's get back to the show. Either one of you or both of you can answer this question. I asked it before the break, and that was when you said you get rid of ghosts. I wanted to know where they go.
I call it home.
Well, and it depends on who they are. Sometimes I have had, I've worked with people that had ET ghosts and they needed to go somewhere else. It depends on the ghost. That will depend on where they go. But most...
The human normal ghosts. They go through the tunnel. They're met by their loved ones. A party and celebration is had by all. And then they get to go through their life review, where they get to experience everything that happened in their physical life and everything that happened while they were stuck. And they get to experience the direct result of their interaction. So if they were mean and bad and awful, they get to feel how that was to the person they were mean and bad and awful.
Or animal. If they came home every day and kicked the dog, they get to feel what the dog felt.
Yes. And a lot of this stuff is from Daniel Brinkley's work. Daniel Brinkley's been dead 3 times. He's been to the other side. He's been to the tunnel. He's also seen the ghost world, and he calls it the blue-gray place. It's the place that they're stuck if they don't go through the tunnel. But he's seen it and experienced it 3 times, written 3 books about it, and it's some of the most accurate stuff about near-death experiences and what happens after we so-called die. And so I know that to be true. And it's why I can be a hospice volunteer. I work with the dying veterans at the VA hospital. And they die in my arms. And I can love them into that new place so that they don't become a ghost. Because now they're dying instead of in fear and alone, they're dying in my arms with love. And I know for sure that they cross over and they get to be where they need to be, back, and I call it back to God. I mean, I'm not a religious person. I have no religious affiliations whatsoever, but I'm a deeply spiritual person. And so I get a lot of the stuff from Daniel Brinkley's work, and being a hospice volunteer has helped hone my skills as an empath and an intuitive, just being, you know, right there at the when the veil opens and they get sent home.
How do you know you're successful? I mean, in other words, how do you measure your success? I guess people say, hey, I'm not haunted anymore.
And the things, you know, when people have ghosts, their electromagnetic things in their house go out. Their VCRs go out. Their DVDs go out. Their light bulbs go out. Lights flicker on and off. There's terrible smells in certain areas. There's cold spots. There's all sorts of reasons, you know, that the ghosts are there and people know that they're there so they can tell. So one of our best cases was with a little boy that he had asthma from the moment he was born in the house that he was in. 20 minutes after he was born, he had a severe case of asthma. We came on the scene 10 years later after this kid is constantly doing breathing treatments and on steroidal medicines and unbelievable things, and we found that there was a curse, a Native American curse on the house and on the land, that it was a white man's curse. Now, the little daughter didn't have a problem. The mother didn't have a problem. The husband was not white man. He was Mexican. But the little boy was considered white, and he had that horrible situation. And once we cleared the curse and talked to the Native Americans that were left there and sent them home, this little boy started getting better and better and better. And unfortunately, he got the flu a few weeks later, which was totally unrelated, and the mother took him to the hospital, and they wanted to immediately do breathing treatment, because he's had breathing treatments for 10 years. And the mother's going, no, he doesn't need a breathing treatment. He's got something wrong with his stomach. And they're going, oh, no, that can't possibly be. We've seen him for 10 years with these problems. They checked him out, and they were absolutely mind-boggled. He did not need a breathing treatment. His breathing was fine, his lungs were fine, and he kept cutting down on his medicine, and now he can play sports.
Yeah, the last we heard, he's in high school now. He was just little when we did this ghost busting, but he's doing just fine. And is it just coincidence that everything stopped when we went in and did the ghost busting? Yeah. They don't think so.
No, and that's in our book too. All the list of things that were wrong in that house, and all the things that changed. And that's why people want to do a TV show about us. It's because we don't just go out and hunt ghosts and go, oh yeah, there's a ghost here, there's a ghost there. Like, yeah, whoopee. No, we find the ghosts and we rescue them, and we make people's lives better because of it. And then the ghost lives are better too, because they get to evolve and move on to where they need to be.
That's one of the things that really annoys us about a lot of these shows out there. I stopped watching them.
I can't watch them
because they'll, you know, these people are just crying for help, and they'll go and say, yeah, you got a ghost, you're right, and then they leave, and it's like, well, tell me something I didn't know before. And they don't, like, help them. They just confirm you've got a ghost. Well, okay, that...
Yeah, big deal. Yeah, so we do the ghost rescue, and we know that there's a need for it, and we know that we're helping people, and that makes us feel really, really good. And sometimes, to be honest with you, we've done ghost bustings, and a few days later, there's still some things going on. We had a case like that, and we had to psychically go back in and look, and there was a ghost literally hiding in the closet. He didn't come out of the closet. and he was hiding in the deep, deep corner of this closet, and we missed him. We just missed him. So we went back in. We don't ever charge for going back in and cleaning the place up and making sure everything's gone. And we were able to reunite him with his family and send him across. And then the problems, this door kept opening and closing in this room. That's why he called us back. He's going, I don't know, this door keeps opening and closing. No matter what I do, it still opens and closes by itself. Well, it was the ghost. And once we sent him home, it didn't happen.
That
again.
Could. So that's our verification when we've got it all, is that the symptoms quit.
That's why I love it.
It's way cool.
From talking with both of you, I get the idea that when we talk about ghosts, we're not talking about a shortage. No shortage of ghosts.
No shortage of ghosts.
It's so true, Terry.
You got that right.
Boy, do you have that right. I mean, and if you really start looking in Iraq and Vietnam and all the war zones that there were, and how many poor soldiers died shocked, you know, all of a sudden, you know, a missile comes in or bullets come in, they don't even see it coming, pop out of their bodies, and boom, they're stuck because they die in such a place of shock. And a lot of PTSD, I believe, is shut-ins, you know, their souls that also they're stuck there in Iraq, you know. And they're wandering, and all of a sudden a fellow soldier goes through a trauma, and they're like, oh, I have a chance to get in there, wham, and they get in. And so Ghost Whisperer actually did a wonderful show about shove-ins. They didn't call it shove-ins at the time, but that they had five ghosts that had jumped into this guy's body, and it was freaking him out, and he wanted to commit suicide. And she, you know, the lady on the show was able to get them loose. And there's so much truth to that show Ghost Whisperer, because James von Prague knows ghosts. He doesn't really deal that much with ghosts, by the way. He deals with people that have already died and crossed over. I think he's one of the most foremost mediums on the planet. But he knows how it works, and so he helps, you know, he's the co-executive producer of that show, and that's why it's such a dang good show. I love it.
You know, if I were a ghost and somebody had done me wrong, so to speak, killed me or whatever, I'd come back and haunt them every day. I'd never let them rest. Does this happen?
If you're a murder victim, most of the time...
I mean, I would never let that person that did me wrong like that take my life or whatever. I'd never give them a moment's rest.
That there is...
Have you guys run across this kind of thing?
A lot of times it does happen, but most of the times when they die, they're so confused. They're not really sure, and they get stuck in time loops and stuff and keep reliving their death instead of being able to wander around. Now, what we have found is, for the most part, now there's always exceptions to the rules, but ghosts can't really go more than like in a 50-mile radius from where they died unless they jump into somebody.
Right.
And then they can. But in general, ghosts pretty much stay where they died. Within a 50-mile radius. There are exceptions to that, but that's kind of what we have found.
Well, that might explain why there are lots of ghosts from the Civil War, you know, in cemeteries.
Oh, yeah.
They're
staying
there,
they're
right.
At the same place. Mm-hmm. And you know what else, Jerry? This is kind of interesting. Most ghosts do not even know they're dead. That's the weird part. They don't even know they're dead. They get this brain fog. They get really confused. They can't quite understand why nobody's talking to them, and they can't really move things physically that much, and why they're, you know, going through things. They don't quite get it. So there's like an amnesia or brain fog that goes on, and they usually stay pretty close to where they died. I have had ghosts die in hospitals, and they will travel because they have such a connection to someone that lives in their home. They'll go back to that home. But hospitals and, of course, graveyards. Oh my gosh!
Hospitals seem to be worse because there's so many people that die in hospitals. They're just swarming with ghosts.
So you are saying that most hospitals have lots of ghosts. They're haunted.
Oh yeah,
big time.
Our
and
beach,
that's why
yeah.
You get shove-ins in hospitals, because there's so many ghosts hanging around.
Yes. In fact, the first shove-in I did by myself was a woman who had an operation when she was 19. And in the operating room was a woman who killed her children with a butcher knife and tried to kill herself. And she just couldn't do the job. She couldn't finish the job. And so, you know, people heard the screams, 911 was called, she got rushed to the emergency room and died in the operating room. And when my client was there, there was a resignation between the two of them, because my client had been abused sexually, and it was about the same age as this woman that had died. And she just, bam, shoved right into my client. And my client then lived for years with this horrible, obsessive, compulsive concepts and disorders about, she was so afraid that she was going to pull a knife out of the kitchen drawer and kill somebody, and she just became this crazy person, until I could finally remove that ghost that had shoved into her, and then all of a sudden, wham, her life became normal. She just didn't have the desire to do that.
Now, I have to say something for the ghost. The ghost, the husband was very abusive, and so she felt like it would be better for the kids to be dead than to have this continual abuse, and that's why she killed her children. It wasn't just that she went psycho. Well, she did go psycho.
Well, Ronnie and Laura, in this reality, we have a thing called time, and it's got us. We're running out of time. So give the book title once again.
Yes, it's Got Ghosts, the bizarre but true tales of the Ghostbuster gals. And again, you can get that on our website, gotghost2.com, or Barnes & Noble is carrying it, and a lot of the big chains, Baker & Taylor is carrying it, Amazon.com is carrying it, and of course our website's carrying it too. So it's getting popular.
And you may have a TV show pretty soon. That's in the works.
Yeah, we'll let you know on that. We'll give you a holler as soon as we get the go-ahead to finish the pilot and do the series.
Yeah, we're excited about
that. Anything we can do to help? I mean, other than give you money?
You know what? I tell you, that's a good question. Here's what we could use from your listening audience. And this is also for our next book, because we've got our next book we're in the process of writing called Got Ghosts, the Sequel. And we need to know if people that are listening do have paranormal problems going on, haunted houses, and we're trying to find the most haunted for the next book that we're doing. So our email address will be on our website. It's pretty easy. It's ghostbustergals@ghostbustergals.com. And if you people can, if you've got something going on,
something
drop us an
really,
email.
Something really, really paranormal. We've seen paranormal. We want to know the really, really, really weird stuff.
Yeah, if things are, going on and you've got obvious situations. Because what we're going to do for this TV show is bring in the cameras and the electronic voice phenomenon recorders and really capture this stuff. So, yeah, that would really help us. And buy our book, because the more of our books that are sold, the more the executives are going to go, wow, these gals are really good.
Well, and the more the book is out there, it's like we can't ghostbust the whole world, and we don't want to. It would take way too much time and energy, and we just can't do it. So we're really hoping that the book will help enlighten people to their own power, that they can do something about this and they're not just a sitting duck. And hopefully they'll be able to respond when they read the book. And it's a step-by-step instruction. It's like following a recipe. So it's really easy.
And it works. I mean, I had a client of mine. His cousin was trapped from a car accident, and I was told I cannot rescue her. And for whatever reason, and he did it himself using the steps in the book, and it worked. I could tell that it worked.
And that's why Ronnie wasn't supposed to, because he was.
Okay, that's the way we will leave it. Thanks for being on, Ghost Gal.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Thank you so much for having us on, Jerry. It was a great pleasure.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care, Jerry.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Production assistance by Jane Swartley and James Smith. You are now leaving the Parazone.